This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm just kind of in awe because I didn't talk to the worship leaders today, and they picked songs and said things that line up exactly with what I'm going to teach on. So all I can say is God is good, and He knows, and He is near to us. So I just want to welcome all of you. We have people in the room today, which is awesome. It's so good to be able to worship together again, to gather in small groups and to lift up the name of Jesus. But we also want to welcome those of you who are online. We are very thankful for you and grateful that you join in with us week in and week out. And it really is a gift from God that we can do this, that even though that we're separated physically from you, you can still join with us and worship with us and experience the presence of God alongside of us. So again, we're thankful for you. And before we start, I just want to let you guys online know, if you want to join us in the room, we're starting to let people in. We're doing a max of 40 people, and that's with social distancing and all the precautions necessary. So there's going to be a sign-up sheet that goes out every week for that, so you can sign up for you and your family, and we'll be sure to group those seats together and make sure that we're socially distanced. We're asking that people wear masks just to keep people safe and really just to glorify God through what we do here and being in line with the the statutes and the precautions that people have recommended for us. So again, if you want to do that, look out for that email coming up. So today, as I was thinking about what I want to teach on, what I want to preach on, this thought kept coming into my mind, and it's something that I think a lot of us, especially in this day and age, are dealing with. It's something that many people are struggling with and trying to get through and trying to work through. And it seems that we're living in a world that is overly stressed out. I'm sure you can see that from every news article and every news story. It seems to be that anxiety levels are rising and rising, that everywhere that we turn, we're constantly being bombarded with stories and news articles and videos that seem to just push us to the limits of stress. So what we're going to look at today in the Word of God is something that we all need to hear. It's something that we all need to listen to and to let God speak to us today. So some of you may be in this room or even online, you may be coming to this sermon and coming through this time of worship, and you're extremely stressed out, and you're worried, and you're anxious, and you may be overwhelmed. And if that's you, this passage is so vitally important for you to hear today. God wants to speak this to you. And I say this every week as I lead worship, but I let this be a time where you actually participate in what we do here. Not just watch a screen, not just listen to the music. I hope you're singing along and worshiping God alongside of the worship leaders up here. But I encourage you to have your Bibles with you and open up to what we're going to look at today and participate in what God's doing here. So if you have your Bibles, let's go and turn to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, and today we're going to be specifically looking at verses 6 and 7, and you may know these verses, you may even have them memorized, but I hope that today would be something fresh for you and you would see the truth of God in Scripture. So we're going to start reading from verse 4. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, we're going to read to verse 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer as we come to these verses. Father God, we pause in this moment before we read another word of Scripture, before we look at this. And God, we humbly ask, we humbly plead with you that you would come and open our eyes, open our hearts, to receive what you would have us to hear today. May we look at this text of Scripture And may we be honest about where we're at. Maybe we are anxious. Maybe we are stressed. And Father, you know that. You know us. So I pray as we come to this today, we would be, again, honest about where we're at. And we would trust you to, again, like as we sang, to see a victory. Because the battle belongs to you. So may we see you through Scripture today. May you guard my mouth from error so I can speak the truth of you and what you have done for us. I ask all these things in the name above every name, Jesus, amen. So as we come to this text, we're going to be focusing on verses 6 and 7 from Philippians chapter 4. And if you remember the context of Philippians, if you know, Paul is writing this letter from prison. He's writing this letter to the church in Philippi. So he's being beaten and he's being chained and he's suffering in prison, but yet he is writing to this church to encourage them, to build them up in the faith, to teach them the truth of who God is and what he has done. So let's read verses 6 and 7 again. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So as we walk through these two verses today, as we walk through this text, I want us to see three things. I'm going to point out three things from this text that I think will help us in our daily walk, will help us as we kind of deal with this stress and anxiety that we all face. So number one is what Paul starts out verse 6 with. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. And I'm sure that not all of us have that down pat, right? We can't stand with Paul and say, Paul, I'm not anxious about anything, so I'm good. But what Paul is saying here almost seems undoable. It seems almost impossible, right? To be anxious for nothing. To be anxious for nothing. So we all at one time or another struggle with this anxiety and this stress, right? So as we kind of look at this idea, I want to just a ground level definition of anxiety, what it is. And I recognize and know that there are many diagnosable forms of anxiety. There are different kinds, but this is just the base level, ground level foundation for us to work off of. So the definition of anxiety is this: a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. A feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically from an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. So if we plug this definition back into what we just read, Paul is saying, don't be worried about anything. Don't be nervous about anything. Don't be uneasy about anything. And Paul isn't just merely saying this as a suggestion for you. He's not saying, okay, yeah, don't be anxious about anything because it might help you. It might help you. But he is saying this as a command to not be anxious about anything. And if we trust that what he is saying is inspired scripture, then we have to say that this command is coming straight from God. And this might be hard for some of us to hear, but if this is a command from God and we disobey that command, it is sin, right? If we disobey what God is telling us to do, it is sin. So when we're anxious, when we're worried, when we're overly stressed out, it is going against God, what God has told us to do, what he has commanded us to do. Because what does it say about God when we're anxious? What does it say about God when we're stressed out? It says that he's not in control. We think he's not totally in control. It says that we think that he will not provide for us, that he's not going to give us everything that we need. It says that we may think that God is not who he says he is. And we're not consciously thinking about that in the moment when we're stressed out and when we're anxious. But in the grand scheme of things, that's what it is. And we see this clearly in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, if you don't want to turn there, it's going to be up on the screen. But Paul is echoing the exact thing that Jesus is teaching in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus expands on this idea of being anxious for nothing, for not being anxious about anything. He gives us real-world examples of how this might play out in our lives. And he shows that a lot of our anxiety and stress comes from just from the everyday walk of life, from just the day in and day out of life. So we're going to start in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. And it's kind of a lengthy passage of scripture, but bear with me. I think we all need to hear this and see this. Starting verse 25, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." I love that last verse. "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself." See, in this passage that we read, Jesus is giving us practical application of what Paul tells us in the book of Philippians. Jesus is saying we don't need to be anxious or worried about what we're going to eat or what we're going to wear or what the future holds or what tomorrow brings. But he tells us why we don't need to be anxious about that. Why we don't need to be stressed out about that. Why don't we need to worry about what we're going to eat? Because God will provide for us. He knows what we need. Why don't we need to worry about what tomorrow is going to bring? Because God is totally in control. Why don't we need to be anxious? Because God is good and he knows what we need and he will provide for us. And don't get the impression that Jesus is saying that these things aren't important. He's saying they are important, but they're not worthy of our anxiety and our stress. To be concerned about these things, yeah, that's okay and that's good. But to be worried and stressed out about them, he says it goes against what he has commanded us to do. Because we're saying that the Father will not provide for us. See, Paul and Jesus are telling us that we do not need to be anxious. We don't need to be stressed out. And I don't know about you, but for myself, I am so glad that Paul didn't just stop there. That Paul doesn't say, "Don't be anxious about anything," and just leaves us right there, because we're probably all like, "I'm pretty anxious. I'm pretty stressed out sometimes. Paul, how do I do this?" But he goes on to give us the remedy for anxiety. We read in Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 6. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So the second thing I want us to see in this is thankful prayers are how we fight anxiety. Thankful prayers are how we fight anxiety. See the contrast that he says here. He says, in everything. So he starts out by saying, be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. But then he goes on to say, but in everything, every situation, every circumstance. He doesn't say only in bad times, only when you're being tempted, only in good times when you're on a spiritual mountaintop. But he says, in everything, every situation. So how can we pray with thanksgiving? How do we do that? We see in 1 Thessalonians, in his letter, Paul's letter to Thessalonica, he says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances. So I think there's three ways that we pray. We can pray with thanksgiving when we're in the time of anxiety. We can pray the promises of Scripture. We can pray constantly. And we can pray with thanksgiving. We can pray the promises of Scripture, pray constantly, and pray with thanksgiving. So we can say, we can remember in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So we can boast in our weaknesses and boast in the strength of God. We can remember what we studied in Romans 8 a couple weeks ago. If God is for us, who can be against us? We can read in Isaiah, he gives strength to the weary and strengthens the powerless. We can see in Psalm, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? We can pray these things. We can pray the promises of Scripture. And as Paul tells us, we can pray constantly. And I don't think that he means that we always have to be walking around audibly praying, but it's a spirit of prayer. A spirit of always bringing our requests to God, as he says, with prayer and supplication. Supplication means to plead humbly, to pray specifically. Not a vague prayer of God bless me, God thank you, but a specific prayer. So if there's a specific thing in your life, in this context maybe be, God, I need help with my anxiety. I need help with my stresses. And we do that with thanksgiving, as he says. We're thankful for what he has given us. We're thankful for Jesus and that he is our Savior King. We are thankful. It's a spirit of thanksgiving. A spirit of thanksgiving. I recently, 2 days ago, I had a real life experience of this. So me and one of my recently met running buddies, his name's Mike, he's actually in the room with us right now. We decided to go running one morning. I said, hey Mike, let's go run at Salem Lake. So Salem Lake is this beautiful trail in Winston. It's 7 miles long. So I was like, all right, let's go run that. We're going to do it. So he likes to run early. So we got up around 4. We head over there, and we were going to run around 4:45. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, this isn't going to be too bad. We're going to have the moonlight shining on the lake. We're going to have some light. It's going to be cool. So the place that we start running from has street lights, and then we get back into the woods, and it's completely dark. We're probably 4 feet away from each other. I can't even see him. He can't see me. So we're running in this pitch dark, and we both said, like, we usually play music while we run. We're like, okay, no music. We got to hear what's around us. We got to hear if a bear is coming up from behind us, whatever it is. We're on edge. So we could both feel that we were both stressed out a little bit. We were both anxious running on this trail in pitch dark. And if I'm going to be honest, I was pretty anxious. I was pretty stressed out and worried that I'm going to run right into a tiger or something. Something was going to be on that trail that was going to get me. And so as I'm running, I'm like, you know, I'm preaching on anxiety in 2 days, and I'm over here totally freaking out. And so I had, literally in that moment, I had to preach this to myself. I basically did a mini sermon for us out on the trail, just giving him my outline, just trying to calm down. I'm saying, if I'm telling the congregation this, if I'm telling you to be anxious for nothing, do I really believe that? Do I really believe that and hold on to that? And I had to check myself in that moment. I had to check myself in that moment. So we're running along, and I give him my outline, and we're praying out loud, trying to get through this, and we get to the halfway point, which is this big hill that is dreadful when you're tired. So we get up to the top of it, and we're not even really noticing what's around us, and we just look over to the side. And it's probably the most beautiful sunrise that I've ever seen in my life. It really was. And I had to stop for a moment. I was like, wow, this is so beautiful. And this crazy peace just came over that moment. We were just standing there looking at this. The lake was totally calm. There were no boats out there. There was nothing on the water to disrupt it. And it was just calm. You could hear the birds chirping. And it was just such a God-filled moment that I took a picture of it. I had to save that for myself. But just the peace that came over us in that moment was incredible and was amazing. And it was beyond explanation. It calmed my soul to its core. And so that lets me lead into what's the third thing I want us to see out of this, is that God will give us peace. God will give us peace. We see in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, notice to have verse 7, we have to go through verse 6. To have this peace, we must go through verse 6, where he says to be anxious for nothing. We bring our prayers and our petitions to the throne of God, and he gives us his peace. See, verse 6 is what we do. It's our action. We're the ones that are anxious. We're the ones that are praying with thanksgiving. But see that verse 7 is the act of God. Verse 7 is what God does for us. See, as we pray with thanksgiving to fight our anxiety, to combat our anxiety, God literally gives us his peace. God literally gives us his peace to guard our hearts, to guard our minds in Christ Jesus. It protects our hearts, it protects our minds. And we see here that this isn't just a normal peace. It's not a peace that the world knows. The peace that he gives in that moment is far beyond human comprehension. It's far beyond human explanation. It is supernatural. It is beyond our understanding. It's beyond anything this world could try to explain to us. It is only because of this peace that somebody could stand in the midst of trials and know that God is good. And know that God is good. If you get the newsletters every Friday that we send out, you'll know that me and Patrick and Jacob, we switch off for who writes an article for that, and they're meant to encourage you and to give you strength and hope through your week. So those come out every Friday. And this past week, I wrote on one of my favorite hymns. It's called It Is Well, and it's one of the most famous hymns written. But this story is really, the story of how this hymn was written is really just a testament to how the peace of God can guard our hearts and our minds. So if you don't know, the writer of this hymn, his name was Horatio Spafford. Horatio Spafford. And so he's a successful businessman. He's a lawyer in Chicago, but his life was filled with hardship. Early on in his life, one of his sons had perished in the Chicago's fires, and that left him with grief and with anger. And so later on in his life, his wife and his four children are traveling from the U.S. to Europe. They're traveling from the U.S. to Europe, and suddenly their boat collides with another boat in the middle of the ocean. And so 226 people on that boat went down, and among those were including four of Horatio's children, all of his children that were left. But miraculously, his wife, Anna, survived. They found her floating in the ocean. They brought her in. They brought her ashore. And as you can imagine, she was filled with such grief that her children had perished, but she had survived. So she telegrams Horatio about what had happened. And as soon as he hears this, he jumps on a boat, the next boat, to where she is at, to calm her and to comfort her. And as he's going, as he's on this boat in the middle of the ocean, one of the crew members comes to him and he says, "Horatio, just so you know, we are in the very spot where the ship went down. We're at the very spot where your children died. And out of this terrible tragedy came beauty." So in that moment, you can imagine if you put yourself there, a lot of us would be angry. A lot of us would be just really mad at God. But in this moment, Horatio begins to write this hymn. He begins to pen a hymn. He begins to pour out his soul into this song. And we know that this hymn has stood the test of time. So he writes, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." He's saying, when I'm in a time of peace, when peace is flooding out of me, or when I'm in sorrows, when grief is overtaking me, whatever comes my way, let me say that it is well with my soul. And see, a lot of us may not be in this type of tragedy that Horatio went through. We may not be experiencing what he has gone through, but some of us may. Maybe some of us are stressed out about something that has happened at work, or something that has happened in a relationship, or you're in a hardship, or you're in a trial. But I want us all, I pray that all of us, as we walk through that, we're able to say that it is well with our soul. That whatever comes our way, whatever is thrown at us, we can stand on the truth of who God says he is, and we can trust that he is good. That he is good. So as we come to a close, let's recap what we have learned through this. So let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So we remember, number one, we learned, don't be anxious about anything. Be anxious for nothing, because God is good and God will provide what we need because he knows what we need. Number two, thankful prayers are how we fight anxiety. Coming before God, bringing our prayers, bringing our specific prayers with thankfulness in our heart for who he is and what he has done for us will help us to fight our anxiety, will help us to drive back our anxieties and our worries. And finally, number three, God will give us peace. God will give us his peace to guard our hearts and to guard our minds in Christ Jesus. So I want to think back to this, to the hymn for a second, "It Is Well." When I first heard that story, it totally rocked my world because I love that hymn. It's one of my favorite hymns, but I'd never really heard the story of how it was written. So I had to ask myself, how is it that a man that loses his four children and goes to the exact same spot where they went down, how is it that he can say that it is well with my soul? That he can have this peace that knows that God is good and he is working all things out for his glory? And I think that the way that he has this peace is because of what he writes in verse 2. It says, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul." He knew that his sin has been paid for. He knew that the whole debt of his sin was nailed to the cross with Jesus, and that he bears it no more. And because Jesus has overcome, because Jesus has died for us, because Jesus has the victory, he can say, it is well with my soul. Whatever comes my way, whatever stress, whatever grief, whatever troubling time comes my way, Jesus has paid my debt. And I'm in right relationship with God. He knew that his sins were nailed to the cross. And I want to look to one more passage of scripture, one more verse, and it's out of John. John 16, 33. John 16, verse 33. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace, the peace that passes all understanding." And he gives us something that may seem a little troubling at first. In the world, you will have tribulation. You're going to have hard times. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. Let's read that one more time. "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." See, Jesus is promising us, he is telling us that there are going to be hard times in our lives. There's no getting around it, there's no trying to run around it. There are going to be hard times in our lives. But the difference is, what do we do in that hard time? What do we do when the anxiety comes, when the stresses come, when the trials come, when the grief comes? Do we stay in our own spirits, in our own minds, and we just wallow in our grief, in our stress? Or do we look to Jesus? Do we look to Jesus, the one who was in heaven before all eternity, who was God from all eternity, and the one who stepped into flesh, fully God, fully man, and the one who lived among us, the one who taught us the truth of who God is, the one who was sinless, and ultimately the one that would go up the hill to Calvary carrying a heavy cross, beaten, marred, beaten beyond recognition. He is the one who carried that cross up the hill, who was stripped naked, who was nailed to that cross, who was put up for all the world to see. And the Roman said, "Who is this? You said," he said, "that he was the Messiah. He was the one that we had been looking for. He is the one that was going to save us. And look at him now. We've defeated him." And he was laid down from that cross, fully bearing the wrath of God, our sin debt, and paying it in full. And he was laid in a tomb. And in that moment, it probably seemed that darkness had overtaken, that Jesus really wasn't who he said he was. But we know and we trust and we hope in the fact that Jesus rose on the third day. That he stood up out of that grave, the stone was rolled away, and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords walked out of that tomb. He walked out, fully having the victory. And the amazing thing is that same Savior is in this room. That same Savior is with you online. And he is calling us to trust in him, to turn from our sin and to run after him. So as we come to a close today, I want to ask that even if there's anybody in this room over here at Bridges Church, or if there's anybody online, if you don't know this Savior, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I'm pleading with you and I pray for you that you would see your need for a Savior. You would see that you can't make yourself right, you can't make yourself righteous on your own, but it takes the spotless Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, dying in your place, so that you can be forgiven of your sin and you can be restored to the Father, that the relationship can be restored and we can stand before our holy God fully justified in Jesus. So whatever comes in our lives, whatever anxieties come, let's look to Jesus. Let's pray to him. Let's remember that he has the victory. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for this text. We thank you for your word that we can look to teach us and to guide us and to convict us. So Father, I pray today as we travel through this world that is filled with anxiety, that is filled with stress, I pray that we would do what Paul and Jesus have told us today, to not be anxious, but to pray with thanksgiving, to have the peace of God flood our hearts and our minds, and to know that God is good and he will provide for us. We thank you for Jesus and what he has done for us, bearing our sin, bearing our shame, and paying the full debt of what we owed. We give him all the glory that is due his name. Father, we love you, we thank you, and it's all in Jesus we pray. Amen. So again, we want to thank you guys online for being with us, for worshiping with us and looking to God's word for us. Just know we're praying for you. And if you need anything, please reach out to us. We'd love to help. Thank you.